Before I get into my presentation about dinosaurs in the Bible, I want to read you a couple of letters. You see this here? These are letters. You know where they're from? They're from Oklahoma prisons. I've been doing prison ministry now for about 5 years or so. Go down to Lexington in the Lark section there. Pass out Bibles. And recently, the Lord opened the door where I could start passing out this book, Know Their Gods. I had about 20 cases of these books in my shed at home, and was going to be doing some conferences and things, but the Lord didn't open that door, and so I thought, well, what am I going to do with these things if I'm 76 years old, I'm going to die, and my two sons will probably throw these things away. So I talked to the chaplain, and he talked to the warden, and he allowed me to start passing this book out. I've passed out all 20 cases now, close to 800 books. Well, not just those 20 cases, I'm buying the cases now. But I want to read this to you. This is what makes it worthwhile. Dr. Steve Kern, I just wanted to thank you for all the hard work you have put in on your book, No Other Gods. I'm 55 years old, and all my life I've had doubts about the creation. In 1 week, your book has laid them all to rest. For once in my life, I completely believe. I also believe I was meant to be here for just this reason. I'll be getting out soon and look forward to visiting you in your church. Thank you, and God bless. Eddie Whitwell. Well, Eddie's out now. I visited with him. He's in the hand-up ministry now. Got another one I'll read, and then we'll go on. This is from a young man named Rico. He's in prison for life because of murder. He's a young man. He wrote me this. Dr. Steve Kern, thank you so much for sending me this book. Whenever I was at the processing prison, my cellmate tried to preach to me about God. I've always only believed in science growing up because my primitive mind only believed in things that I could see, study, and witness. And I said to him, I don't believe in all that, very rudely, he said. I'm very ashamed today every time I think of that disrespectful response that came from my mouth. And he told me that I should believe in God because God loves me. I was very bored in my cell. Now, those men in the Lark section that I go and visit and pass out books, they're in there 23 hours a day. They only get out 1 hour a day. They're in there 23 hours a day. They'll read anything you give them to read. And so he said, I was very bored in my cell, and then I saw your book, probably one that I gave, one of these, No Other Gods, in the window. I'd given it to one of the other inmates, and they left it there. He said, I read it, and it changed me forever. I'll tell you what, that's the kind of thing that makes ministry worthwhile. And that's another reason why I am so committed to teaching and preaching in any way and every way I can. All the reasons why we can believe that God's word is the truth and that evolution is a lie. And that's all these letters here from these men, that's what they all say. I knew that evolution wasn't true, but I just couldn't figure out why. I couldn't figure out why I knew it wasn't true. So anyway, oh, by the way, I've got some books over there, and I've got this CD. It's Steve Kern, 4 songs that I wrote, and I was going to try to get them pushed at in Tennessee, but COVID hit and that shot that down. But anyway, that's free. There's some over there free if you'd like to have one. And then, so this book, I sell it for $10, so I can give at least 2 of them to prisoners in prison. I don't make anything off of these things. Everything that I make off of these books, I use to buy more books so I can get more letters like that. Well, this is a trilogy that I wrote. Eden's Veil, Eden's Sun, Eden's Tears. It's a story about a man seeking the truth before the flood. From a biblical perspective, it includes dinosaurs and all different kinds of things that we know about from the creation worldview, about the environment of that time and everything. And I incorporate all of that in the story of this man named Bakash. Bakash in Hebrew means to seek. He's a seeker. And the world god of that time, Lucifer, and he just has a problem with it. There's got to be something better than this, he's thinking. And so he goes on a quest. He learns about this garden. He's actually a descendant of Cain. But anyway, he goes on a quest to find the truth. And has a lot of adventure and everything. But these 3 books, the men in the prisons begged me for them. They begged me for these books. And I give them when I can, if I've got them to give. Well, I just wanted to share that with you. $10 for this, $15 for the 3 books. It's a trilogy. And then the other books there that I've written just on different issues, only $5. But let me say, every penny goes to buy more books so I can get more letters like this. Well, we're going to talk about dinosaurs in the Bible. Now, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence." You know, if we sanctify Christ as Lord in our lives, we have to believe that he is Lord. And we have to understand and know that he's the Son of God. But not only is he the Son of God, but he is God. And so if we sanctify Christ as Lord in our lives, we're going to make his word the foundation for our worldview. He becomes our worldview. Okay? And his word becomes our worldview. And so, when we run into people who have a problem believing in God's word because there's all these things that they've been taught, just like the young man there, that he knew it wasn't true, but the idea of man evolving out of apes and dinosaurs living 70 million years ago and all that, he knew it didn't coincide. He grew up in church. And he didn't get the answer to his questions. How is it, you know, that the Bible teaches that the earth is young and yet the dinosaurs died off 65, 75 million years ago? What's the problem? Well, they don't have an answer, and so they come to Sunday school and they don't get an answer. And so after a while, they think, well, there must not be an answer. So then they just kind of give up on it. And that's why we have now Ken Ham did a study, and something like 90% of young people that go into college now, by the time they get through, they're no longer committed to their faith. Well, I want to give you some information that can help you give people an answer for why you believe. And I think it's pretty solid stuff. So let's go to dinosaurs in the Bible. Well, next. The biblical stand, if the worldwide flood event is true, and Jesus prayed in his prayer, John 17:17, thy word is truth. So it is true. Then every plant and animal fossil found in the sediment rock would have been products of the creation week that took place 1,656 years before the flood, which would include dinosaurs. All right, let's go to the next one. So I've got a picture here of what it would have looked like, kind of, when Noah's and then God's bringing the animals. Now, the dinosaurs there, I want you to see the dinosaurs were there, and you got a pterodactyl flying up there. Now, as they're coming to the ark, of course, there wouldn't have been, well, there may have been a lot of people there. I don't know what was there, but at that point in time, didn't have to worry about it because the animals were not carnivorous at that time. And then, too, the animals that would go on the ark would not be full-grown adult animals. They would have been juveniles, so they didn't take up a lot of room, and they didn't eat a lot of food. And but anyway, just kind of give you a picture here of what it could have looked like, including the dinosaurs. And there's a lion laying there, and there's a bear over there, you know, and all different kinds of things. So, all right, let's go to the next thing. The book of Genesis 1:21 says, and God created the great sea monsters. The King James translates sea monsters as whales. Well, the Hebrew word is tanin, which is translated dragon in the rest of the Bible. Leviathan that you run into in Job and some other parts of it is referred to as a tanin in other parts where he's spoken of there. Now, Genesis 1:25 says, and of course a dragon is what? A dinosaur kind of animal, right? Genesis 1:25 says, and God made the beast of the earth after their own kind. Now, the beast there infers a large animal. And when you look at the way that the animal kingdom is described in Genesis 1, you have the animals that basically are close to the ground. Then you have the medium-sized animal that are referred to as cattle kind of animals, domesticated kind of. Then it has large kinds of animals. And you need to think of something, because before the flood, I mean, vegetation was just rampant on the earth, and it took animals, large animals, to eat a lot of that vegetation to keep it from taking over the whole earth. So these are some of the things to be thinking about. Now, let's go to the next slide. The book of Job, Job 40 and 41. The book of Job is understood to be the oldest book in the Bible after Genesis. Job lived a few hundred years after the flood, around the time of Abraham, or even before. When you read Job chapter 15, verse 10, there's a, I think it's Elihu that's chewing out Job and saying that if he would go back and listen to the men, the wise men before them that are still in existence, he wouldn't be in the argument they were in. But who were those people that he's referring to there in Job 15? 10. I'll show you in just a minute. God rebukes Job in chapter 40 and 41 by reminding him that Job created two very large, fierce animals to show how his power of creating those kinds of animals, and actually to kind of chagrin Job. But the point that you need to understand is that Job knew about these animals and had seen them. Okay? They were living examples of God's creative power. All right, let's go to the next slide. I wanted you to see this slide because I want you to notice something there. Job, being a contemporary or prior to Abraham, notice there's Abraham there, born in 1448 after the creation, and lived 100 years and then 75 years after his son was born. But go up there to the top and look at Shem. Shem was still alive when Abraham died. Noah was still alive through half of Abraham's life. What's my point? My point is that the post-flood era had eyewitnesses to the flood for over 500 years after the flood. For all of the folks that basically probably had gone to Babel, which would have been during the time of Peleg there, probably around that era, all of them knew about the flood. And so anyway, we see that Job here is being confronted by God about these two animals. But the point too is that we need to understand that the record that you have of Genesis there and what's going on there comes from eyewitness accounts. That's a whole nother study that I do, okay? All right, well, let's go on to the next. So, let's look at what God had to say to Job about these two animals. First of all, the behemoth. That's the Hebrew word. In Job 40, 15 through 24, gives a description of this land animal called behemoth. This animal was made on the same day as man, was huge, had a tail like a cedar. Now, when you read a lot of commentaries about this passage here, they refer to behemoth there as an elephant or as a rhinoceros or as a hippopotamus. Have you ever seen their tails? Do any of them have a tail like a cedar? What is a cedar? A cedar is a tree, a big tree. This animal had a tail like a cedar tree. Okay, and so he lived in the water and on land and could stand in the Jordan River when it was at its highest levels and the water not reach its mouth. You read that in those verses of Scripture. And it goes on to say, no one could pierce its nose because they could not reach it. So, this is kind of a close description of a long-necked and long-tailed dinosaur. Not an elephant, not a rhinoceros, not a hippopotamus, a dinosaur. Okay? One that looks something like this. What's the next thing? Go to the next slide. Yeah. Long neck, long tail, huge body that could stand at the bottom, could stand in the middle of the Jordan when it's raging and not get swept away. It was so large. Brachiosaurus there. All right, so really that animal there fits the description that you have in Job 40 better than any other animal that we know of. All right? Okay, well, let's go to Leviathan then. The Leviathan, the whole chapter of Leviathan, of Job 40, is about this animal, Leviathan. It seems like God was pretty proud of it. is creating, the way that he created this animal. It gives a description of this Tanan dragon called Leviathan. And this is most likely the same animal introduced in Genesis 1:21, the great sea monsters, okay? This animal was a sea creature that may have moved on land as well. It was huge, fierce, breathed fire. When men ran into it, caused them to wet their pants, it says in there. He was so fierce. It was huge, fierce, breathed fire, and has reptilian body forms and scales, things like that. So now, something we need to understand, dragons were a part of every early culture's tradition, starting with the Sumerians, coming on through that when you go into the Orient, but it's not just in the Orient, but also in the other parts of the world. And that says something to us about myth is often understood to be a distortion of what was real in the past. But really, Leviathan that's being described here in Job isn't being described as myth. This is being described as an animal that Job was familiar with. Now, just because we've not seen a Leviathan does not mean they did not exist. Just means they just don't exist now, right? And one thing that people reading the Bible say, oh, it breathed fire. Oh, wow, you know, breathed fire. That's got to be a myth. Well, does it? Just because you haven't seen an animal that breathes fire doesn't mean that there couldn't be an animal that breathed fire at one time. Think about it. Have you ever heard of an electric eel? A large electric eel that has the power to create its own electricity? Well, that's pretty... If you'd never seen one, you'd say, no, that's impossible. They can almost kill a man with their electricity. And then you have that bombardier beetle. Have you ever heard of that bombardier beetle that can spray... something so hot, it's hotter than boiling water coming out of its tail. And what about fireflies that go around blinking lights and stuff, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of animals out there that do some really wild stuff. And so what makes it so hard for us to understand that there could have been an animal at one time that actually breathed fire? Think about this. Why are they trying to get rid of all of the cows in the world? It's destroying the ozone. Why is it destroying the ozone? Because they belch and pass methane gas. And what is methane gas? It is very flammable. And what if you have an animal that has the ability to belch methane gas and has a way of sparking to cause the methane to turn to fire? Is that so hard to believe? Well, so the Bible tells us that this animal actually existed. Well, Job believed it did. Well, let's go on. So we have now these two dinosaurs in the Bible, the behemoth and the Leviathan. Now, this is an interesting book, After the Flood by Bill Cooper. And Dr. Cooper did a study on the history of the monarchies in Europe, Scandinavia, the Saxons, the British, those things. And he started tracing them back because the lineage was traceable back in through the archives. He went to all the different archives in Europe and every place and actually got access to go into those archives and to study their background. You know how far he was able to trace them back to? To Japheth. the son of Noah, who actually was the one son that went to Europe, the Northwest. And he's got that documented in his book. You don't hear about that anywhere, do you? No, you don't hear about that. It's a very interesting read. But which tells us then that we have a history. There is a historical record from taking place from the time of the flood all the way up to modern times. Well, let's go on. In his book, he has some pictures here that he found. This is a Saxon shield, and it's a replica of a flying reptile at rest. You know what kind of reptile it is? It's a pterodactyl. Notice it's got teeth with a beak there, teeth in its beak. Now, why would a Saxon warrior carve a shield that looked like a reptile pterodactyl with teeth, with a beak with teeth? He's wanting to put fear, the same fear, into the hearts of men that those actual things did put fear into their hearts. That's why. So, but that's a replica. Now, how could he have made that kind of a shield if he hadn't seen one? All right, well, let's go on. This is another Saxon relief. But notice how that you've got here a bipedal animal with small arms in the front that's attacking a four-legged animal. Now, how many animals are there in existence that have two large hind legs and a small two small front arms? There aren't any. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, there is. Kangaroo. The kangaroo. Anyway, but it gives you an idea here of how these people are making a drawing of something that they had seen going on in the animal kingdom. All right, let's go to another one. This is this a page out of the story of Beowulf. Did you ever read Beowulf? Beowulf probably took place about 700 A.D. And in Scandinavia. And you had this king that had this monster that was attacking his castle every night called Grendel. And so this king, Beowulf, is famous for being able to kill large animals, kind of like Nimrod in the Old Testament. And so Beowulf comes, and he finds, and he kills this this animal, this monster. Well, I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll give you a summary of the description. This monster is described as this large animal with two large back feet and two small front arms. And it's got this huge head with a big mouth and has got large teeth in it. That's how it's described. Okay? So Beowulf confronts this animal. And the way that he's able to ultimately kill it was, he attacks the animal, and he gets himself underneath the animal's jaws where it can't bite him. And you know what he does? He takes that little arm and he wrenches it off of the animal. And the animal in pain runs back to its lair and bleeds to death. Now, if that's not a description, and another thing too, we know that we're told the animal was not a full-grown adult because later on its mother came to try to attack and they killed that too. But the point is that it's a perfect description of a T-Rex. All right, well, we'll go on. This is some more things here. This is just another picture of a similar, another hero killing another monster. by taking off its front arm. Okay, let's go on. I want you to see this. This is Roman swords and spears. Actually, after the time of Christ, notice that one with the fan-looking top there has got a crown at the top. And it's really, it has some Christian symbols in it. But I want you to look at one of these swords here, and you can kind of see it there, but we'll go forward and see. Look at this sword. What is that? Why in the world would a Roman soldier draw a apatosaurus on its sword, especially if he'd never seen one? Well, obviously, he must have had some kind of encounter with a apatosaurus-type dinosaur and battled with it or something, and he's putting that on his sword as to show his prowess as a hunter or whatever. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is he killed an animal, or this he knew about an animal, and he'd seen an animal that looks just like an apatosaurus. All right, we'll go on. But now remember something. That's taking place after the time of Christ, which is telling us that dinosaurs actually would have survived on the ark, come off of the ark, and survived for a pretty long period of time before they finally died out. Well, we've got some evidence of that as well here. This is if you can get this book at Mardell's, it's a really good book for to train young people about creation worldview, Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. It has a section here where it talks about these burial rocks that were uncovered down in Peru. And these burial rocks are 1,000 to 1,500 years old. And there's some interesting pictures on them, and we'll go to the next and we'll start seeing them. Notice here is a warrior sitting on the back of a triceratops. Go to the next one. Here's a man with a spear fighting a apparently some type of a bipedal dinosaur with smaller front arms and a large mouth with teeth. Now, how in the world would they be able to draw that if they hadn't seen one? And actually, what are these? These burial rocks are things that are commemorating, obviously, something that this person did in their life before they died. Another picture here is this is a Diplodocus with a man standing there, a dinosaur with its the humps on, not humps, but things on its back there. And we'll continue on. Here's some more Diplodocus. These are all rocks that come out of these burial places down in Peru. And another, let's go to the next one. Here's a man. It looks like he's standing on a llama or sitting on a llama with a long neck. Yeah, but notice the tail. That's not a llama tail. That's a large tail, a dinosaur kind of tail. Let's go on. Now, a picture is worth a thousand words. There's another kind of a small triceratops type animal. Okay, go to the next one. Now, I really like this picture because whoever the guy was that carved these on there, it's perfect. Notice what he's got there. There's a triceratops there at the front. At the back, you've got a stegosaurus. And then next to it, you've got a bipedal dinosaur of some kind. And then you've got a perfect replica of another apatosaurus or Brachiosaurus with a long neck and large tail. Are you beginning to get it? What am I doing? I'm giving you guys something to be able to say, hey, listen, the reason why I don't believe in evolution because evolution says that the dinosaurs died off 70 million years ago. No, they didn't. They died off maybe about 1,000 to 500 years ago. All these pictures were drawn before we even knew what any of these animals were. We didn't start uncovering these animals until about 200 and 250 years ago. These replicas were drawn 1,500 to 1,000 years ago. That's the point. All right, let's move forward here. And there's not just a few of them. This is a whole cadre of these rocks that have got all kinds of pictures on them, including pictures of of dinosaurs. Okay, another. Let's go to the next one. This is the Angkor Wat in Cambodia. And it's got a little, an interesting relief on the entrance to it. But go to that. Notice that. What are you looking at there? A stegosaurus. What in the world is a stegosaurus doing there? Unless they'd seen one and they had him running around. Maybe even had a part of their worship. Stegosaurus. All right. This is getting even closer. You see this? This is in the floor of a English church, an old English church. It's a burial relief, a burial coffinus. And there's this strip of bronze or whatever it is at the bottom there of the replica of the man that's buried there, apparently, or maybe that's Christ. I don't know. But anyway, let's go to the next. Let's see what's on there. Oh, dear me. Long-necked, long-tailed dinosaurs. About 500 years ago. Let's go to the next one. This is kind of a alligator-type animal. But it's not really an alligator because an alligator doesn't have a tail that can flip it around like that and curve it. All right, let's move forward here. Now, this is a picture here. Y'all had pizza tonight. Yeah. How many of y'all had pepperoni? This is a picture of a very small part of that vein. You see that vein there? And right where the vein was, there's a little red spot there. That's what this picture is. You know what that is? That's red blood cells. Do you know where that vein came out of? It came out of a Tyrannosaurus rex femur bone that wasn't fossilized. And it still got some of the red blood cells there, meaning it didn't die very long ago. I guarantee if it was 70 million years old, it wouldn't be there. But I bring that up because they're finding this stuff all over the place now. And if you go to ICR, Institute and Creation Research, .org, you can read about them there. Ken Ham's answer is in Genesis. He's got different kinds of things. They've got stuff about soft tissue, dinosaur soft tissue now. I have an article of a discovery up in Alaska. This man, they were going to be doing some digging for to start doing some oil well digging and all this. This was before Obama and before Biden, obviously. But and he came across these bones, and so he didn't know what they were. Of course, you know, they've got mammoth bones. They've got all kinds of animals up there that, in the tundra and all that died in the freeze. Well, they he took the bones to a museum, and they started looking at those bones, and they found out that those bones were not fossilized. and that they were bones of a group of duck-billed dinosaurs that lived at the same time as the mammoths did. You never read that article anywhere, did you? Yeah. It didn't, because it doesn't fit their scenario. But there's all kinds of things like this that are being found now. Let's go on to the next one. Here you have a picture of human footprints going that way. See the man walking that way? And the other footprints are dinosaur footprints, telling us that the man walked one way through there, and the dinosaur apparently came afterwards, or he came, but they both made the footprints at the same time. And they've got several of these. This is all down in Texas, Glen Rose, Texas. These tracks, and so let's go to the next one. Here's a picture of, see the human foot there? And then there's a perfect dinosaur track right in the middle of the human track, made it the same, in the same mud. That is not a carving. They cut that out, that stone out of what they got out, and they did a study on it to see if it was just something that was carved there. Well, they found that, you know, when you have mud and you put pressure on it, then it condenses the dirt, the mud underneath it. And that's exactly what they found underneath this these tracks. That's not a carving. All right, let's go on. This is a picture of a saber-toothed tiger that was supposed to have died off about 10,000 years ago, according to evolution, and this particular track has been found in the midst, down in Glen Rose, Texas, in the midst of dinosaur tracks. They all live together at the same time. All right, let's go on. There's more of the tracks. Let's go on. Now, this is called Malachite Man because these remains of these human remains have been through the pressure and then through the fossilization and turned into malachite. The interesting thing, though, about these these fossils here, human fossils, is they found that it's a whole group of humans, men, women, and children, that they've excavated. But the thing that they know about this is that they were not buried there where they've been uncovered. Apparently, they were buried in a mud flow farther upstream, and then buried in that flood, but carried along until they stopped there. Here's the problem with that whole group of human beings that died in that mud flow. What was one of the things going on in the flood underneath the water? All kinds of mud flows and everything. These people were buried in the same strata as dinosaurs, with dinosaurs. They were buried with dinosaurs in the same track, the same level. Kind of, you know, when you think and you read about the flood, you know, and all that, and you think, well, you know, well, you're just reading it. But man, when you see something like that, that really brings it to reality, doesn't it? That really was. It really happened. Okay, let's go on. So this is more information about Malachite Man, but I'm not going to get into that now. So, all right. More of the excavating of those bones. Let's go on. More excavating. Well, the point of this whole presentation is my encouraging you to just believe God's word. God's word says that God created everything in 6 days. The fifth day, he created the sea creatures and the birds. And then on the sixth day, on the first half of the sixth day, he created all the land animals. And then he created man. Okay? And so, if that's true, then we would expect that all of those animals that God created when he had the flood, when he was going to do the flood, he would have every one of the kind that he'd created on the sixth day to be on the ark. And if they were on the ark, they would have survived after the flood. And what I've just told you is they did. Our kids need to be learning this in school. Get your kids out of public school and put them in a school that'll teach them this. And they'll get committed to God's word and living for God. But I'm having a hard time getting this done in churches, let alone in schools. They don't want the controversy. How can you believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old when we know that the stars and the light from the stars, it's taken millions and millions of years to come here? Did it? Apparently not. Because we're seeing it. And the earth's only 6,000 years old. There's a lot of things that you can get into that I get into other presentations about starlight and time and about Einstein's theory of relativity and how that gravity and light and all those things work together and time, all that stuff. God has got an answer for all the questions. But we need to get informed what the answers are so that we can give people an answer when they ask us, why do you believe what you believe? Because it takes more faith for me to believe what they believe than it does for me to believe what I believe. Because I got a whole lot more evidence than they do. They don't have any. Okay. I think I got into preaching there a little bit. But I'm becoming more and more. I'm seeing what's happening in our country. And I'm seeing how that now we have a bunch of young people and that don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. Why is our suicide rate so high? They're not getting the answers to their questions. And the church is responsible. Because we, well, at least you now, have the answers. So, anyway, what time is it? Oh, it's time to quit.